It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we want to know about your childhood dreams. When you were young, what did you want to be when you grew up? Does it seem funny now, or did you make it happen? We'll be taking your calls coming up. First, the new trade deal between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada has now been signed, but questions remain about whether it can be delivered. The North American leaders added their signatures this morning from the sidelines of the G20 summit in Argentina. President Trump called the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement a truly groundbreaking achievement. But before it can be implemented, each country's legislature needs to approve it, and for Congress, that might be a tall order. Both Democrats and Republicans have been critical of various parts of the deal, but Trump remained hopeful that it would pass. The deal would replace the North American Free Trade Agreement, which Trump has called the worst trade deal of all time. Here's President Trump talking about his hopes for the bill.
I look forward to working with members of Congress and the USMCA partners, and I have to say it's been so well reviewed, I don't expect to have very much of a problem to ensure the complete implementation of our agreement.
Megan Casella is a trade reporter for Politico Pro. Megan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we'll get into whether this will be an easy sell in Congress in just a bit. First, give us the main highlights of this new agreement and how much it's different from NAFTA.
The agreement is largely the same. I mean, some senators will say between 90 and 95% of the deal is largely the same as the original NAFTA. But that remaining segment, you know, even though it's small, there are some substantial policy changes. The most notable are probably in the automotive sector. There are stricter rules mandating how much of a car must be produced within North America in order to be sold in North America with zero tariffs on it. There's rules on how much of the steel and aluminum and other materials used in the car must be sourced from within North America as well. And as another provision mandating that at least a certain percentage of the car must be produced by workers or earning at least $16 an hour. So the auto sector has a lot to adjust to. There are some dispute settlement provisions that have changed a little bit that change investment protections under the pact. Canada has agreed to open up its dairy sector a little bit more. And there are some brand new provisions, things like protections for workers that aim to prevent against the discrimination based on gender and sexual identity and that sort of thing. So there's sort of, you know, the changes pretty much span the gamut, and they're not a huge amount of changes, but there's definitely some significant things that all three countries would have to adjust to.
And you mentioned that auto issue. This comes after GM says it's laying off about 14,000 people, closing some factories in the U.S. and Canada. And prior to the signing ceremony, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau called that development a heavy blow. And he added this, directing it at President Trump.
Make no mistake, we will stand up for our workers and fight for their families and their communities. And Donald, it's all the more reason why we need to keep working to remove the tariffs on steel and aluminum between our countries.
And along with dairy and a couple other things, the steel and aluminum tariffs have been one of the biggest sticking points between the U.S. and Canada. Does this new agreement end the discussion on steel and aluminum, or is that something that gets handled separately?
It's going to get handled separately, and that's to the dismay of initially Canada and Mexico, as well as a number of business groups and industries operating in all three countries. They really want to see these tariffs removed, as well as then the retaliatory tariffs that Canada and Mexico imposed in response to Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum. So those discussions will continue, and you know, industries that are really affected by them are hoping that it's as soon as possible, but there's no set timeline at this point as to when those might be removed.
Talking to Megan Casella, trade reporter for Politico Pro, about this new replacement deal for NAFTA signed by the leaders of U.S., Mexico, and Canada earlier today. Still needs approval in Congress and the legislatures of both countries. And let's get to that. You've been reporting on this, Megan. First of all, before we get into specific objections, does Congress have to give a straight up or down vote on the deal as written, or do they have some wiggle room where they can say, we don't like this bit, but here's a little something we can do about it?
It's a little bit of both. So they can't amend the deal itself. Now that it's signed, it would be very, very hard for the Trump administration to go back and reopen those talks with Canada and Mexico. But Congress will have some say over what's called the implementing bill or the implementing legislation. And through that vehicle, they can try to say, you know, I have grievances with this provision or that one. And the administration can and will have to go back and forth with Congress over the next several months to try to use that implementing legislation to address some of their changes or their concerns.
And this is a big, huge treaty on trade, and there's something in it for lots of people not to like. Let's look at some of the different objections now. You wrote that in Politico anyway, I saw some conservatives in Congress don't like the thing you mentioned, protections for LGBT employees against discrimination included in this. This could motivate some Republicans in particular to vote against the deal?
They could, yeah. So it was about 40 conservatives in the House of Representatives that came out against those provisions a couple of weeks ago. And what they were saying was, you know, a trade agreement is not the place to make new social policy. And they said, a number of them started to say that this could jeopardize their support for the agreement. So when you pair that with, you know, Republicans are sort of have always been the party of free trade, and their votes had been expected to be easier for the administration to pick up for this agreement, because we're also seeing Democrats start to defect as well. So the deal sort of under scrutiny and under fire by both sides of the aisle.
And we're seeing some Democrats, including Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin, worried about the deal's labor standards and how they're going to be enforced. What kind of concerns are they raising?
They're saying that, you know, that's always been a complaint with NAFTA, the original, is that it didn't go far enough to protect workers. It sent jobs overseas. It incentivized offshoring, drove down wages. And the administration went very far to try to work with Democrats and address those concerns. But what these Democrats are saying is that it just doesn't go far enough. And even as far as it does go, the standards still aren't enforceable. So they're worried that Mexico in particular might see what's written in the agreement and then not listen to it and not be legally forced to abide by the rules that are written into the new deal.
Then I've seen objections in Congress along particular regional economy lines. Some Democratic senators in particular worried about how this might affect the auto industry and other American manufacturing. I saw a tweet, I think, from Senator Marco Rubio saying it doesn't do enough to protect Florida fruit growers, for example. Are we going to see a lot of these regional issues popping up as this gets debated?
We absolutely are. And that's actually one thing that's really interesting about trade, is that it often doesn't cleanly fall along party lines. It's based on regional lines. And so Chuck Schumer, we saw him come out saying that he's particularly interested in how it's going to affect the dairy sector, given huge dairy interests in his home state of New York. And so that's what we're going to see. You know, and then in a very trade-dependent state like Washington State, for example, we're probably going to see those lawmakers, regardless of party, are more likely to support the deal just because they're so dependent on trade, international trade. And so we're going to see a lot of regional differences.
Now, Congress has to sign off on this, but I guess a big question is, which Congress, the one that's there now or the one that gets sworn in January? We've seen some Senate Republicans, including Wisconsin's Ron Johnson, saying, hey, let's vote on this now before the new Congress is sworn in early next year. Is that something that's likely to happen?
Not likely at all. It's actually all but certain, I would say, that it's going to be next Congress that is going to have to deal with this. It was sort of a last-ditch hope by Ron Johnson and others, led by Senator Pat Toomey, a Pennsylvania Republican. And what Toomey has told us is that he felt it would be easier for his concerns to be addressed if it were dealt with sooner rather than later. And I'm not sure, you know, if everyone would agree with that. Others might hope for more time so that they have, you know, more opportunity for conversations with the administration and changes and that sort of thing. But it was, you know, there was this push. I guess it was last week we saw the latest push to get a vote as soon as possible. But because of a number of procedural steps that the administration still has to go through, it would be almost impossible for them to get it done in the current Congress.
So that means it'll go to a Democratic-led House, a Republican-led Senate, plus, as you mentioned, all these regional wrinkles that might cross party lines in either direction. President Trump was saying, as we heard earlier, he thinks this is a pretty easy sell to Congress. Do you see it as an easy sell to Congress?
I think that's a little bit too optimistic to call it an easy sell. I mean, that's not to say that it will definitely fail. I just think there's going to be several months probably of back and forth and of work between the administration and Congress and hearings and that sort of thing, analyses of, you know, what this actually means for each industry before you're starting to see lawmakers change their tune and say, this is a deal that they can vote for and that they would like to see pass.
This is a huge hypothetical, but if we go through this months-long process and Congress doesn't approve it, where are we on trade? Does old NAFTA still apply? Are we just under the World Trade Organization rules with our neighbors to the north and south? What happens if this doesn't go through?
If all goes as is normal, you know, in normal circumstances, the original NAFTA stays in place until the USMCA or NAFTA 2.0 is passed. The wrinkle that's thrown in there is that the president himself has often threatened to withdraw from the original NAFTA in order to force a vote on the new one. And in that way, he would tell lawmakers, you know, you better pass this new deal because otherwise we're left with nothing. And that would severely impact supply chains all across North America, industries, the U.S. economy. That would spell major changes and major disruption. So if he does, in fact, follow through on that threat, that would be huge. But we actually haven't heard that threat of withdrawal revived recently. So I think, but lawmakers, again, are still sort of on edge. You know, what if he does? And so I think that's the danger in delaying too long and in threatening not to vote for this agreement. If you're a free trade lawmaker who wants to see some form of a trade deal remain in place, it's sort of a risky thing to vote totally against the USMCA, because what if then the president goes and withdraws from the original NAFTA? So it's a gamble.
Now, I know you are focused on Washington, D.C. and Congress. Is there any sign that this is going to be tough in the Canadian or Mexican legislatures, or is the U.S. Congress potentially the biggest sticking point?
From what I understand, each of those countries might run into, you know, a wrinkle here and there or an obstacle here and there. But the U.S. Congress is absolutely going to be the biggest story and the biggest one to watch.
Megan, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Megan Casella is a trade reporter for Politico Pro. We talked with her about the future of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, the new version of NAFTA, which was signed today by the leaders of the three countries. As we've been hearing, it still needs to be approved by Congress and the legislatures in Canada and Mexico.